Oh, goodness. I'm glad to see so many smiling faces. One of the great things that I get to do as a staff pastor rather than a lead pastor is I get to travel and preach at other churches a lot. I think I got it figured out that on our district, I've got to share God's word at 9 churches, and some of them are repeat offenders, or I'm the repeat offender there. I don't, whatever, however you want to word it. But I get to see a lot of other congregations, and I get to meet a lot of other people, and I do really appreciate coming back to my home church, too, sometimes. It feels like home, right? As much fun as it is to travel and to meet new people and to share God's word in other places, it is always so much more comfortable to share it here. Although there is something to be said that when you go travel places, you kind of really get to give it to them, because guess what? Sometimes you won't be invited back, so you might as well just lay it all out right then and there and let the pastor sort out the consequences. But no, I do. I definitely do get to appreciate that opportunity to be able to visit some of the other congregations. So if you don't see me here, it's not because I'm on vacation or I'm taking a break. 9 times out of 10, it's because I'm at another church doing pulpit supply and helping to shepherd a flock somewhere else. So that's normally why I'm gone, which is what was the case last week. I was in Patterson. I got to meet some great people and share God's message and a little bit of my testimony, which is always fun. People always look at me weird when I share my testimony. They're like, what? You're a pastor? You used to do what? Yeah, so there's that. But it's fun. I enjoy it. But like I said, I also enjoy coming here. So there's this thing that I forget to do sometimes when I preach, and it's breathe. So take that moment and just breathe. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for what you do in my life, Father. I thank you for how you use me, Lord. And I pray that I would never get in the way of that. Help me to share your gospel message and not what I think the gospel should be, but what you would have me share. Father, I pray right now that I would step out of the way and that you would speak through me this morning. Guide me and lead me in this act of worship. I thank you so much, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now that everybody's settled, would you please stand for the reading of the word? We will be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. And like I said before, Pastor Raul always seems to leave me the fun ones to preach, as you can see. Starting in verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you who behave lawlessly. It's the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So, as a church, we've been on this journey through the Sermon on the Mount for the past few months anyway. And as we are coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says something that at first when you go to study it, you're kind of taken back by it. And you have to really go, wait, what is he saying here? What is he talking about? How does this pertain to us? And I can tell you that I struggled when I was writing out the message for this week. I mean, you take in all this information, and then you got to sift it down, and you got to pray through it, and then you go to write it down, and sometimes you stare at a blank screen for a while, and sometimes it just comes out, but sometimes it's just, okay, Lord, I've taken in all this information, and I've listened to other messages that are on this same passage, and I've done all this work, and I know that you were guiding me in it. What is it that you want me to say? The passage that we're looking at today can be a very difficult passage. But as we look at this passage, we must not only look at others, but we also have to look at ourselves. We have to see how we relate to the passage as well. And verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Jesus comes right out and he tells us that us, as followers of Christ, as the church, need to beware of those who are preaching and teaching and the information that we are taking in. He comes, and it feels to me like it's out of left field. But he says, beware of false prophets. Those who would come and they would declare this message that sounds so great, but in actuality, it's an empty message. What do these people look like? Well, they come looking like followers of Christ, but in reality, they're very different. They are ravenous wolves. And you hear Jesus throughout the Gospels refer to his followers as sheep, right? And guess what? Wolves eat sheep. And these are not just wolves. These are ravenous wolves. They're hungry. They're starving. Actually, they're extremely hungry. In verse 16, says, "You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles?" You will know them by their fruits. What does that mean? We will know false prophets by the evidence of their lifestyle that they lead. Even if all the words sound right and the message sounds right, what we have to do when we are looking at preachers and teachers and those that are declaring the word of God to us is we have to also look at lifestyles. Is the grace and mercy of God overflowing from them? Do they live the life that they preach? The word here for know is epinosis, which means to have exact or full knowledge of something. You will know them by their fruits. You will fully know them by the lifestyle that they lead. You'll know everything that you need to know by the lifestyle that they lead. Verse 17 and 18. In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Eventually, the bad fruit in the lives of false prophets will be apparent. You will recognize it. You will see that the message that is being preached and the lifestyle that is being lived are not the same. If we are being aware of it. If what we do is we just take in whatever anybody has to say that stands in a position of authority, and we don't ever go to the Word ourselves to see that they match up, or we don't know what a follower of Christ should look like, we will just follow them like sheep led astray to be devoured. Yes, it takes work to preach the gospel. But then again, there is also work that needs to be done for those that are receiving that message. I think that's a kind of a common thing that I say. I say that, guess what, there's work that you have to do. Well, just so we're clear, there's work that you have to do as well. That's right. Told you I was watching you. The lives of followers of Jesus will always yield good fruit. We cannot avoid recognizing people's true character by the fruit of their outward lives. Tell you what, when you meet somebody that is following Jesus and they talk to you, you can see and you can feel and you can hear God's grace and God's mercy just pouring out of them. That's the fruit that he's talking about. This grace and mercy and this love for others that shows that we are followers of Christ. It's the same way with pastors and teachers. When you listen to them speak, you should hear love for others in their conversations. When you look at how they interact with people, you should see love for others in their actions. Grace and mercy should be at the forefront of what they do. Getting hand signals, like, no, it's not time for landing. Circle around, we'll come back to it. Verses 19 and 20. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Jesus is talking about, well, he begins to transition into final judgment is what he's going into here. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, all those that claim to be followers of Christ, all those pastors and teachers and self-proclaimed prophets, that the good fruit is not evident in their lives, guess what? Those bad trees will be chopped down, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's what it says. You guys are ahead of me. All right, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you who behave falsely, or you evildoers. Here's where it gets sticky. Profession of faith is not enough. You can claim to follow Jesus all you want to, but if there's no evidence of it in your life, if there's no evidence of it in my life, I have no right to be calling myself a follower of Christ, because I'm not. There should be both. Our words and our actions should match up. It should be a part of who we are. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it reads, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good? What is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." These two things have to come together. What we say and what we do have to come together. They must come together. It is an absolute necessity that the gospel that we proclaim is lived out in our daily lives. Absolute necessity. The gospel that we proclaim is the kingdom of God has come to earth in the person of Jesus, and that he died on the cross for the sins of everyone. Every human being in the world. That is the gospel. And guess what? Everybody can have a part of it. That is the word that we share. And that is what our actions should be leading to as well. What is necessary to follow the will of God in our life? Here's a question. What do we need to know? All this, what do we need to know? There are preachers who are sharing a message because they are ravenous wolves. And they are hungry, not because they love Jesus. And you will be able to recognize it by the life that they live. They will tell you everything that you want to hear. They will share this gospel of cheap grace that no matter what, in the end, everybody gets to go to heaven. Everybody gets to come into the kingdom of God. No matter what, that's not the gospel message. That is not the message of God come to earth and then crucified for our sins so that we could be in the kingdom of heaven. Why do we need to know this? The imposters offer cheap and profitable salvation. Sounds weird when you put that together, right? Cheap and profitable salvation. Well, if you would just give this much, the Lord will bless your life. Oh, you just got to pray harder, and guess what? He's just going to do what he wants. Cheap and profitable salvation. Just saying it hurts my spirit. Just putting those words together. Often this message is without the cross. And often the message that they share doesn't mention final judgment. So if the message that these false prophets are sharing feels good and feels right, but it ignores the the sacrifice at the cross and ignores that in the end we will all face judgment, then it is not the true gospel. These are the things that Jesus teaches us. And if we are not sharing the things that Jesus teaches us, then we are sharing the wrong message. What do we need to do? We must keep an eye out and look for the fruit of salvation in the lives of those preaching to us. We must be sure that we are following the will of God in our lives. Why do we need to do it? Jesus gives us consequences when we do not follow the will of God. When we face judgment, he will say that he never knew us if we follow preachers with a false gospel message. It will not lead to salvation, and it will not lead us to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not an outward organization, but it is a living organism. It's not something that we can just put together with structures. This is something that is alive and moving and growing and should be gathering. We should be gathering. Being a true Christian means that there has been radical change in the depth of the person through the grace of God. There is an awesomely deep connection between what comes out of us and what we are. The essence of trees determines the fruit they produce. False prophets encourage us to try to make ourselves Christians by adding something to our lives instead of becoming something new. And their work never quite rings true. If somebody would have came to me when I was still living in sin, when I was still the person I was before Christ, and they would have just said, hey, just add this thing to your life, instead of, hey, guess what? Be transformed by the work of Jesus. I tell you, it wouldn't have lasted. If I would have tried to add stuff to the mess that I was, I would not be here today. That is guaranteed. True believers have been radically altered, and though they are far from perfection and often stumble, they do manifest the character of God's kingdom. There is a true ring to their poverty of spirit, their thirst after righteousness, their mercy, and their being peacemakers. They do also show the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Believers slip and stumble, but their fruit is real, flowing from their inner beings. Those that are preaching to you, those that are teaching you, this fruit of the Spirit will be pouring out of them. They may slip and they may stumble and they may fall, because we all struggle in some way. But their fruit is real, and it is flowing from their inner beings where Christ dwells. We take nothing away from this at all. I would suggest that as you hear messages preached and you see people teach you, go to the Word, read it for yourselves. Look at it in context. Look at the lives of those that are preaching and teaching you. And make sure that the message matches the fruit. That you would not be led astray. That you would not follow a false gospel. That you would be empowered to bring others to the kingdom of God.